Welcome everyone to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting tonight. Gary Wade is going to be late, but he will be here eventually, and he asked me to go ahead and get the meeting started. So it is Wednesday, February 21st, and it's 7 o'clock at the Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. The agenda states we will have public comments. If anyone would like to have a public comment on things not already in the agenda. And if you'd like to comment, please come up here. And state your name for the record and say your piece. Eric?
I'm just going to get some chairs.
He has a comment.
You don't want to hear my piece.
Sure we do. Being there is no public comment, we'll move on.
Maybe some of these newcomers.
You guys, would you like to open public comment? Would you like to say anything not related to what's already on the agenda?
We're here for one agenda item.
Cool. That should take care of it then.
So whenever you're ready, we'd love to offer some comment.
All right, well, we'll go to item number two, and that's.
Thank you.
We haven't opened it yet.
You opened the.
I opened the meeting.
Public comment.
But that was for number one.
This is for the meeting.
You have to call for the public hearing when you're ready.
Oh, the public. Oh, thank you for that. Okay. The officialness is sometimes escapes me, so thanks for keeping me official. So we're going to be closing. I'll take a motion to close. I do a motion, right?
Yes, I'll make a motion to close the public comments.
Second.
And a roll call?
Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Skinner, yes. And then I will entertain a motion to open the public hearing for the Provorte conditional use permit for an accessory structure over 1,500 square feet.
I'll make that motion.
I will second that motion. I will also vote yes.
Horner, yes.
Banger, yes.
Skinner, yes. All right, we're in public hearing. So anyone that would like to comment on the Provorte conditional use permit, take the stand and tell us your name and please share your public. There you go.
Yes.
I'll kick it off.
All right.
Good to be back. Jason Beveridge, we are neighbors to the east of the proposed structure. We have watched the current structure go up. Just out of curiosity from the sheer size of the current structure that's still under curiosity, we did some research online where we found Christopher the son talking about the planned use for the current structure that's under construction. And we have some concerns that the intent of use is not what it was originally stated to be as a storage facility for vehicles. So we are concerned clearly about another vehicle or another barn or structure being built and wonder what our obligation as a city and what we can do if intended use or stated use is not actually fulfilled and what they're actually using the facility or building for. So that's our question. And I guess a question for the board, with the current facility that's being built, is it zoned commercial for employees?
It's in an RA5.
It's an ag.
So it's not zoned to have employees work.
That's correct.
It's not an ag building.
Okay. So we have record online that stating they have intention to have employees work out of that facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Polvardis are here. I don't know if they would like to address those concerns.
They're right here on the back.
Would you like to speak to the public and to us?
Yeah, the building we're talking about now is on a separate property. It's for my motorhome. I'm building a wood shop for my woodworking. My wife's going to have a gym. We're going to have a little room for all our hunting and gear and stuff, place to park my motorhome. So it's not a business. The other one's not a business either. We have a hobby racing You know, we have an employee, he lives on the property, he's in the house at the property there, so he's living and working where he's working on that stuff for us, which I believe meets the code. It's not a for-profit business, it's a hobby, just like if anybody's racing, you know, the demolition derby, and I see them parked all over the place in front of people's houses and stuff. So, I mean, everything we're putting is inside the barn, it's not gonna be outside, so it's just a similar hobby.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We live in the property that is directly over the fence from this property, and probably have the...
That's state your name.
Paul Peterson.
And Grace Chubb.
And Grace Chubb. And we have similar concerns to those that were expressed before. We aren't sure, in terms of the existing facility, what kind of noise and stuff. We've also looked at the videos that were talked about, that were online, that talked about a sandblasting area, about other facilities there that might create noise that we would be concerned about. So, we have concerns. Probably the biggest concern that we have, and I don't know the answer to this, I don't even know how to research it for sure, is not just the plan of the current building that we're talking about today, but how many structures can be built on this property totally. And I assume there must be limitations to that. So I would ask the commission to maybe tell us if they know, or to research what, and maybe I can ask Chip. He has two pieces of property there, right, Jeff? One's 7 acres, one's 5.
Correct.
So is the big structure on a different piece than what this new one's gonna be built on?
Yeah, that's one. The Mead Moth property is owned by Christopher, so that's where the other house is in the big barn. And then I live on the other house, which we don't have any accessory structures. There's one little three-sided shed that we're actually gonna be tearing down there.
So that would impact the answer to our question. It's just a concern that we have. We're worried about the structures and maybe future structures and the size of the structures and so on impacting the value of our property.
And another thing he doesn't bring up is purpose.
State your name, please.
Grace Chubb. I'm owner. Is that the whole purpose for that porch that I put out there was for family weddings and gatherings. And I was under the impression, like was said earlier, that that was only gonna be a storage type facility and not any kind of business and cars. I've grown up around cars. I know how loud they can be. And I know when you're having to sync things that it's noisy. I have weddings coming up, family weddings that are gonna be in the backyard. And I envision seeing such a disruption to a nice quiet afternoon. So.
Thank you.
What, so Eric?
Sure.
The all-knowing one? You would be surprised.
Are you talking?
So what are the limitations? That can they build any structures on the piece of property?
So your lot coverage is designated by zone. So the RA5 zone will give you a certain area that you can build.
It's a percentage,
like,
right?
Right. Like commercial is 50%. You can cover 50% of your parcel with buildings.
On commercial. But the yeah. RA5 is a percent of...
I don't have the RA5 with me right now, but it has the same restrictions.
I think I read it somewhere. I think it was brought up a year ago, and I can't remember.
And then the second question is, and I'm just asking, but if... I'm thinking of the proper way to say this.
All right. I'll try and think of the proper way to answer.
Because I follow Christopher, so... Anyway. If they if they don't follow the conditions of the conditional use permit, what can be done about it?
So if a conditional use, if those conditions aren't met, then they'll have a hearing before the town council, and they can revoke that conditional use. So that building would basically be, the conditional use would go away at that point. That's why you do conditional uses, those conditions you put on them, is why you allow that to be in the area. If there's a condition that the commission sees that can't be mitigated, but it doesn't fit in the area, you can't, you have the obligation not to give a conditional use.
Right.
But if it fits in the overall general plan and area, then you're obligated to issue that condition.
Which, sure. It does.
Well, that's an individual thing you guys elected. Did you find that?
I'm reading through the code section right now, okay. Trying to find the coverage stuff. Yeah, I'm in there, so okay. Give me a minute to read it.
Right on. Sorry, I didn't bring my book tonight. Straight in from Idaho.
20%. You can cover 20% of the ground with a building in an RA5.
Does that include the home?
It says all buildings, including accessory buildings and structures, shall not cover more than 20% of the area of the lot. So on a.
So it doesn't matter how many structures you build, as long as it's within that percentage.
20%. Correct.
So you can build a little baby structure.
So on a 5 or 7 acre piece, you can cover a lot of ground.
I thought we were told when we built we were only allowed one.
No, we can have an outbuilding. It's a percentage.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah.
So based on square footage, it's almost 40,000 square
footage. Yeah, that's a lot of space on a piece of ground that size. Sure. Yep.
Make a tax implication.
Anybody else want to speak? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing for the Polvordi conditional use permit public hearing.
I'll second that motion.
Beat you. Gave you a chance.
Call for the vote.
Vote.
Oh, Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Banger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
I do, I would like to make it. Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't realize where we were. I just went to Tim Holton just barely got here.
No problem.
Are you closed? No more.
We'll have to reopen this.
He can always talk.
We can do that.
For Mr. Ward, we'll let him be tied.
He's a legend.
This is a little town.
We'll postpone our closure.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, sir.
Well, we have an interesting name. We've all put it to a good time. Well, this is a situation where I think the builder and the those who have their homes need to have some consideration for each other. It's a, you know, our home was one of the first ones on that road. And it's changed, and it's changed, and it's changed, and it's changed. I know that Grace has spent thousands of dollars to get them. Is that right?
Hundreds of thousands.
Thousands of dollars to get a nice view there, and there ought to be a situation where something ought to be, I mean, just those building, they need to think about how is what I'm doing going to affect the people around me. Like I say, we built on that, on our property back in 1974, and then Gary come in, and about 10 years later, 15 years later, I don't know, and he's thinking about what he wanted for his property. My home was beautiful. I could see camp. I could see, you know, I'd sit in my living room and enjoy camp and enjoy the the sun sets, there he come in and he's built his building, put trees there. They blocked my view of Tim completely from my home. And he wasn't, I'm sure, thinking about that, but it's made an effect on me. This, whatever, I don't, didn't see what the building was going to be, but they ought to consider where, how it's going to affect the people that are there. And it's just, maybe he's got all of a right or whatever, but we want to be good neighbors. We want to help each other have what they've got. Nice. I mean, it's just a situation that we need to think about what we're doing. And I just think that sometimes that we think of what's going to be good for us, or we're thinking about what's good for those around us.
Thank you. Just in response to a couple of the comments made in the hearing, if there's concerns with regard to possible conditions not being met, that needs to be formally written up as a complaint and submitted to the town. And that's really our only way to follow up and to see that that's done. We're not allowed to just go look in. I can't go to your house as a member of the town planning commission and snoop around to just make sure you're meeting every condition. So if you have a condition that you have a concern is not being met, I would just encourage you to make a formal complaint, and then our officers of the town have the authority to investigate those.
I completely understand that. That's why my question was, what recourse do we have? So, as of right now.
So that's it, and then we can shut down if conditions are not being met or violated, then those conditions can be revoked and the use of that property for whatever's being it can be.
No, I've asked the board to consider with what was stated as the original intent versus what's been posted online of the intent of this building, and maybe pump the brakes a little bit before we move on to another large structure. Because as of right now, the current building under construction is not even finished.
But we really can't cross the two.
They're different.
It's a completely separate issue, so legally we can't say because you did this over here, there's a concern or a potential issue over here.
Sure. Yeah.
You can't mix the two from my perspective. Yeah. We have to look at the issue before us and rule on that based on the conditions that are presented.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
You know, not to be the dead horse, but there's an old adage that good fences make good neighbors. I understand where you guys are coming from, I really do. When Bishop Porter was building his house, I was a senior in high school. And Mill Road used to be a dirt road. And you can't stop progress. We really can't. And Grace, I love you to death, and I really understand your feelings. And at the same time, I would look at the Polvardis and say, you guys are building big sheds. I understand that. I understand your hobby. And if I had the money, I'd do the same thing for my son. Good neighbors make good fences. I used to farm the ground you guys are on. Family owned it. And but at the same time, I built a new house on my 5 acres. And I did what I could do. Eric stopped me a couple of times because I didn't have the bathroom in the right spot or something, I can't remember. But you know what? I had to comply with the building code, and I don't know if my house blocks the view of Bishop or Rex Reeder, bless his heart. But you know what? He came over and he was happy and put his arm around me and says, "That's, you're doing a beautiful thing here." And yet I'm right across the road blocking his view of Tim. And so I guess in the long run of it, what I'm trying to say is, if somebody has a piece of property and they want to put a building on it, I would expect them to be just as good as neighbors as the neighbors around. And that's what we're here for. The Daniel area, everybody, excuse me, loves each other. And so if we can be good neighbors, if not, then we have a recourse through the council. But I'm sorry, that's how I feel about it. It's their property. I plan on putting a shed on my property, and maybe that'll block Rex's view. I don't know. But I just think that we should all think about other people and their properties, because as a registered Republican, property rights are very sacred to me. And if the Povartis have bought the property and want to come in and put a barn there, it's their right to do so, as long as they abide by the regulations of the town.
But I would also expect the Povartis, if these folks have a wedding in their backyard, granted the view that you anticipated has changed, but you could call and say, "I have a wedding on this day," that they would not be sandblasting or grinding or hammering or whatever's going on, and be a mutually good neighbor. Like, we had that schedule, but maybe we're going to put it off until tomorrow when your wedding's done. I think we can be good neighbors.
Absolutely.
And so it's about communication and property rights and being good neighbors within the laws and the ordinances and the covenants of a town. And if you meet the codes and you meet your conditions, there's not that much we can do to stop any of it. I've got a lot of anger about the entire valley with regard to master plans that don't exist. And I think we all share the same frustration, but there is property rights. And
I think if you talk to Jack Rose or Bishop Ward, that you've been good neighbors so far. Great neighbors.
Yeah, so far. And we're trying to be good neighbors, and we're building it with nice materials to make it look authentic and fit in the neighborhood. You know, I mean, the siding was very expensive. We're not trying to build. I could have stuck metal siding on it, and it looked like a big commercial building. You know, we're trying not to do that. We're trying to make it look good.
I think it's a lot better than a bunch of stuff sitting outside, you know, trailers or tractors.
You're making fun of my place, aren't you?
we're closing.
Right. Okay. We like to keep everything inside. You know? And where we live now, to be honest with you, in California, where we came from, we have almost 17,000 square foot of buildings on our property. It's ag, it's orange groves, but some of our neighbors are much closer, and we're friends with everybody. We're not making any noise that bothers anybody.
The sandblaster of concern is about yay big, and we get to be running it, and we get to be having this conversation.
It's just a little blast beat blaster.
It's in all the cabinet.
I'm sure that nobody's going to have noise problems or issues with that. And all the stuff will be inside the building and kept very nicely. So that's our objective.
And make sure I understand, the ag building that you're applying for now is an open-sided structure, is that correct?
Three-sided
for structure. For your RV and equipment.
They've got two buildings on the agenda.
Right.
Yeah, that one is for hay, equipment, trailers, tractors.
That's the ag.
Horse trailers, we're buying a stock trailer, we're buying some cattle. And that's to keep that actually out of the eye of Jack, because Jack backs up to where we want to park it. So I figure if we build this three-sided shed, then Jack sees a nice wooden structure, not all this stuff parked right there stacked outside.
Thank you for clarification. Anything else? Okay, I'll take a motion for the second round of closing the public hearing.
Sure. I'll motion we close it again.
I'll second. Bridger.
And you get to go again, Bridger.
Oh, wild yes. Sorry.
Yes. Bangler, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Pretty much.
And our steam leader is back.
Welcome to the party.
And so.
Do you have anything you want to add, Gary?
To the public?
No.
We're on item three now.
So we're on item three.
Yep.
Discussion on avoiding condition.
Okay. You guys can go ahead and discuss.
The conditional use application is for the building that's being built now.
Right, it's the one that the plans are here, it's on.
I got set too many plans.
It's not being built now, that, those are plans.
It's a new building, it's on.
Different
property, different parcel.
So, Mr. Pavlovity, this new building, conditional use building, is basically a storage shed.
The one we just, the one you guys just voted on?
No.
We didn't vote on anything yet.
There's two buildings.
Yes.
Correct.
One is similar to the one that he's built now, which is not an ag building, and that's what the condition, what the public hearing was for.
The conditional use for this current building.
Not current, but future.
The one in front of us.
But it's on a different parcel than the one that he is currently building.
Yeah.
It's a smaller building.
I thought that was the one we just did, because that's the.
We haven't done anything today except listen to public comment.
Yeah.
And now we are discussing as a council whether or not to approve a conditional use permit for the building that you're planning to construct.
The one on your property.
Yeah, so that's the building that's going to be a gym and RV parking and his big shop.
And that's the ag building.
No. Here is the building.
Right.
This is the parcel that faces 3000 South. House here that's on this corner here.
Okay.
I'm a little confused because it seems like it's on there twice.
Yeah.
Two different things?
Yes.
Yes, three and four are two different buildings.
No, but how about two and three?
Two and three are the same.
Two and three, we have to have a public hearing before we could discuss and approve or disapprove of your conditional use permit. So we just closed the public hearing.
The conditional.
And now we're discussing and potentially voting on whether to approve or not your conditional use.
And that is where your cars and stuff are kept?
No.
Yeah.
Well, his motorhome, vehicles.
No, that's the ag.
It's not an ag building, it is a garage, so he can do whatever you would do with a non-ag building.
I was thinking you were thinking about the trucks and the hobby shop thing.
Okay. It's a little confusing, you have two buildings so close together, is it?
Three total.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Okay, call for the vote. Or a call for a motion, I'm sorry, not a vote.
Motion for a trip.
I've been driving for an hour and a half. But I call for a motion.
Can I ask Eric if, some questions? We're good with setbacks and height and everything in terms of what we're, I know we're not approving like a permit yet, but just the use, like, as it's let on there, it all looks like it makes.
Yeah, he's got 50-foot setbacks, and then, of course, that will be a 30 on the rear and 12 on the side, so he's.
Yeah, and then height, I already saw, it looks like we're well below our 35, so.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, that was all I wanted.
Oh, no. Good question.
I'll make a motion that we approve the Pavlovity conditional use application for their accessory building.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Call for the vote.
Wild, yes. Horner, yes.
Sanger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Let's move to item number four, which Now take this building out of your mind and go to the other, go to the other one.
That's not been built yet.
That has also not been built. And it is an ag building. It is on the south side. This is on a different parcel. It's on the south side of the new building that is mostly complete at this point. And you'll find the plans in your packet. It is a basic agricultural shed, three-sided shed, which, you know, is for equipment, hay storage, whatever, you know, agricultural purposes that he has. So basically, these bigger ones Eric brings in, they can be approved administratively. We just look at them to make sure that they meet setbacks and height limits, those types of things.
And does it meet all those specifications, Eric?
Yes, below the height. And we did have him add your plan. It was hard to see, but we did have them add 2 feet to the setback on the side, so it'll be 12 foot instead of 10.
On which side?
On the back side.
On the back side?
Towards yeah. Jack's.
Correct.
Do we have any concerns with that ditch that's noted on there?
Yeah, well...
I know that got brought up with the other building for a minute.
It did. And the town doesn't have a interest in that ditch. However, the irrigation company, they own that ditch. So I don't like what it says on the plan, but I can't take that off. So yeah, I certainly would not. And you guys are certainly within your rights to have them strike that from this plan. At some point, ditches are going to become important for spring runoff.
Amen.
At some point. And those ditches that
ditch will still be there though.
Yeah, I think it shows a 12-inch pipe in there, correct?
Only on the driveway.
We actually were able to just get away with that. So that it actually just goes around the back of the barn and just keeps going down the whole one side of the road.
The garden lines.
So the ditch remains?
Yeah,
the
ditch remains.
The ditch remains a probably
fine, but when it gets down to
so the way this is drawn, it's not gonna, I mean, this has it going right through the front of the building, I guess.
It goes around the back of the building.
Jack's wife was concerned about it. I mean, isn't that?
That's actually how the old ditch goes. We were going to take it right down this side.
Oh, so you're rerouting the ditch?
Yeah, it just goes around the corner and goes all the way down.
Okay, so you're still planning on leaving something for them to run the water through if needed?
Yeah.
So with that ditch,
and that's where our runoff needs to go anyway.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Who's in charge of making sure that ditch is rerouted?
The irrigation company okay with that?
I don't know that, if they are or not. I don't know if
who would be in charge of calling?
It's their easement.
That
so
can be a.
If they go within their easement and do something, they're in charge of their easement. The irrigation company is. So, if there's any changes to an easement, whoever is the owner of that easement is the one that administers that easement.
I would get a hold of Hugh Barker.
Yep.
And talk to him about it and see, because they do own that easement. So. Just saying.
And I think if we vote to approve anything, that it would be conditioned upon approval of that ditch. You don't want it done wrong either.
No.
Or your stuff's going to be down in Gary's yard.
Yeah, and I don't know, because I asked one of the board members of the irrigation company, and they said, we haven't used that ditch in 20 years, it doesn't matter. And then 2 months later, I saw water coming down the ditch again, and I've seen it nearly every year that we've had a good spring,
winter.
So, or a good winter, yeah. And, you know, it's blocked again down on Southfield Road, but it also can go to down Big Hollow, down to Daniels Creek. So, yeah, I think it's just check with the irrigation company because if they turn the water down and there's no ditch, then it'll end up in your barn. But, you know, it's typically got water in it for a week or more, not much more than that.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay, so being the administrator of this, to be clear, I'm not going to issue the permit till I get a letter from the irrigation company signed.
Well, that depends what we do for.
Put in our motion.
Motion.
Okay, all right. I have to be clear when I walk out of here.
Yeah. We'll make sure you know.
All right, thank you.
Okay, call for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Yay.
That we approve the Pohorty Ag building permit conditioned upon getting approval from Daniel Irrigation Company of their
removing of the ditch.
Of their acceptance of either removing or rerouting
or vacating.
Or vacating, nice word, thank you. Vacating said ditch where the building's going.
I'll second that more than once.
Okay, any other discussion?
Do you want to discuss anything?
When you're a vote.
I haven't been asked to vote yet.
Call for the vote then. You've been asked now.
There we go. Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Spangler, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Let's move to item number 5.
You have two packets. For that.
That's this one.
Would you like?
I'd like to see what was
the agenda. Oh, here. Would you just like a packet?
I'll get it for you.
Does he want the plan?
He wants the whole thing.
Okay. No, that's fine. This only just doesn't have what we're talking about. The subdivision.
But that will have the ditch stuff.
No, that'll have everything you need, sir.
He's on the board for that irrigation company.
Larry, yeah.
The only thing that doesn't have in it is what we're talking about for Nephi's subdivision plans. Everything else is in there, okay? You're welcome.
Okay, so would you like to kind of explain what he's trying to do?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys have this. This is a description of what I'm trying to do, but I don't know if this came through. I thought that I forwarded this description, but I can just kind of read through it briefly. So my building, as you know, is on the highway there. So I have my building's 24,000 square feet. I built it for 7 units on the main floor, and with an 8th unit above, it takes a whole upper stairs. And so that is this probably the last page.
But the 8th unit above is your storage, correct?
Yes, yeah, that's
okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm proposing is an amendment to the code of the town of Daniels where it'll allow me to.
That's not what we're considering.
So
we're considering the application you made for a subdivision, not what you turned in after the first for a code amendment or a rezone. This is your original application for a small subdivision.
Okay.
Do you want to look at the application that you submitted so you know what I'm talking about? Well, you did submit something else, however, it was after.
Was there a cutoff?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
There was.
I was trying to get this.
No, that's okay. I just want you to know what we're.
That was in the minutes from last time.
Yeah, this is what. This is.
Thank you for taking the time to be here.
No.
So do I need to resubmit then? I think, because maybe I submitted.
Well, your comment when
you got up here was that you were talking about amending the code or a.
Well, we applied, and
I'm sorry, I'm not.
For a small subdivision, but it doesn't exactly fit for small subdivision.
What we're trying to do.
Anyway, so we put on other, and so we might have to do this a second time or another time. But we kind of want to explain our ideas of why it doesn't fit. Because if we do a subdivision, we have to split the ground and the building, and it just gets really messy. And so we're hoping to do something very clean.
Amendment to the code
for.
I don't have your actual application, but that's what they have.
So we put on there also other, there. Did subdivision other. And when
so
we talked to Amelia, she kind of explained.
Submitted to you what I'm.
Anyway, it's just like, it wasn't an option on the application.
So are you talking about the building you've
yes.
already
the
got?
The same building.
Yes,
as
the
yes.
same building
yes.
we have.
This
out.
Isn't
so
doing the other outparcel
so what's
building.
So different
no.
now that we have to go back and do
so,
an
so
amendment.
So here's where
an
we
amendment
are, just
to.
Personally, with all of this. Originally, when we were building it, we just thought, hey, I mean, costs have just like exploded through the roof. I don't know how many of you guys have like $80,000 in your pocket to write for a permit. Like, we just got hit with a fire permit. Like, you need $80,000. That's not going to construction. That's not going to anything. Just, you know,
that's the
permit.
County.
There's taxes.
Yeah.
There's just so many fees that have exploded over our heads that we're looking like, how do we survive this? And our thoughts are if we could condominiumize it, and it's going to take time in the future. The codes are already there to make it clean and give it so more than one person can come in and own a property, but there's a HOA that all the properties in, so all the property taxes get paid through this one, like more governing per entity. Which
yeah, so there's one person
in contact. Majority of the shares. And
well, yeah, I'm working with Eric on this, and that's the Daniels took that out because they didn't want some explosive building to go in on the highway. And so, you know, we have Daniels, as far as I understand, there's kind of pretty minimal strip of commercial in Daniels on Highway 40. So, but as the code is right now with that out, it kind of ties my hands. I've had three potential clients come in. We want this, we want that. And then they backed out, which would take care of the whole building. So a lot of the problems we're experiencing are county taxes, what they've done for the last year. They've exploded on us. And we're dealing with smaller businesses wanting to take. And so we designed the building to accommodate for that. But where smaller businesses want an ownership, they're more attracted to an ownership piece into it. So that's what we're trying to amend to the town of Daniels. I don't know if that's.
I don't know the background on this application.
Yeah, that didn't get.
So I guess the question might have is that if you did it as a partnership in the building, I get that, except that I have a building and I have three partners and we are all owners. And as people lease that building, some of us are owner occupiers, and you divvy that out. But they bought in,
so that's exactly how this is. It's under a condominium code, so the owners have that portion of that building, and it doesn't have to divide the property and the ground. And so it's doing that.
But they're
same
not.
Thing.
But they're not purchasing. But what I'm saying, they're not purchasing the northeast corner of the building. They're buying a percentage of the whole building.
Yes, they're trying to buy a percentage.
And that doesn't require code changes.
No.
I see what you're saying, but.
And so you might get to your end result quicker, more efficiently, by just selling shares to your building as partners in the whole.
Yeah, and that might be.
As opposed to condominiumizing the whole thing. And there's pros and cons to both that you'll have to weigh out.
Yeah.
But if it's like, we're going broke, and you'll go broke waiting for this change of code thing to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And can I ask kind of why it's so stuck in the mud on that? Because I know there's a process, but if it's like 6 months to a year, I mean, that's doable. But if it's like a, we're just old town, we're not ever going to bring that word into our code kind of thing. Because I remember talking to him about this years ago, and he's like, no, we're not going to do that. But if you look at like the Iron Horse building or some other nice buildings, they're beautiful buildings, but there's four separate owners, and they individually own it, but their whole, I mean, it's legally designed to solve all that partnership stuff and all that thing. Because obviously, this building's going to outlive us. We don't want to give our kids a headache of partnerships. We
want
to clean. What you're asking is for the town to take over that headache instead of you.
So I don't understand that.
Changing the code.
I don't understand that part, because it is legally put there, and it's only changed for commercial. Like, Daniels only has a small section of commercial to deal with.
And we will definitely look at it. I don't think that town council looks at code changes until later in the year.
Yeah, they're submitted by July and then acted upon in November.
Yeah, but they've looked at them throughout the year. I know that's what we'd say, but that's not what has happened in practice, so. It won't be a fast process, no matter what.
I understand that. We have people willing to lease with an option to purchase.
Yeah, a year.
And so we're having a struggle right now trying to finish the building with budget and getting people in there because of, you know, a year ago we met here with Schwags. He wanted the whole thing down the road. So that's happened now three times. And so, you know, the commercial part of this is a kind of a learning process for me too.
Sure.
And so, and going through this process is too. We have, so we've really tried to focus and again, I mentioned with the taxes, what they're doing to us with the, and so that's really to where we have to like, okay, we have to break this down. So individual people, where local business, we can't turn over all the commercial to out-of-state big-name businesses.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be local businesses, as you know. There has to, you know, most of everybody in here works at a local business. And so, and if a local business can have an ownership in something other than just a ever-increasing lease rate, and that really appeals to people that we're working with right now. So that's what we're trying to get the ball started.
Yeah. Sure.
So I understand that it's a process and everything, but that's my purpose. That's what we're trying to get, confer with this.
I mean, our idea is to help the middle class people, so middle class business owners could actually own something without having to develop and go $1 million bankrupt.
I talked to Jeff Wade, is on the county council, and we're friends from school, and he just says, you know, the mom and pop operations of the valley are just disappearing because of the reasons I stated.
Just like the dairies.
Yeah. Yep. And so, and you know, we're by no means, you know, you guys have known, most people have known us for a long time, but you know, we're trying to facilitate a business base that's more of a small business, you know, local ownership in the valley. And so, anyway, so this process would really help us out, and we're willing to go through that process. So that's what we're trying to propose.
Yeah, we originally thought of the subdivision, but that gets messy because that divides ground or condominiumizes, keeps the parcel all intact, all the water intact. And it's just a hard word to think about, but if you look at just condominiumizing only commercial and for certain sizes.
Yeah, and have limits on it, and so where you're not building a 100-unit monster complex to where it detracts from, you know, the town of Daniels, what they're trying to, what the you know, what they're trying to build out here. But one thing, you know, it does not, my project out here does not, doing this process will not anyway increase density or increase traffic, whatever. It'll still be the same business of the bill, have the ownership. But there is only, Eric Bunker talked to me a bit, but they didn't want to, multiple people to contact. There's, the way it's set up, there's still one point of contact. There's not, there's a managing body like that you contact. And so if there's a problem or whatever, there's only one person you, the town would have to contact for if there's an issue. But
he's asking us to change the code. I don't know.
That's something.
Is that what it's going to take?
I guess apply for later. But
yeah. And so I wasn't, I'm not sure of the process that to applicate, because there isn't, from what I understood in the, I put other, because I didn't know what category to put this in.
Sure.
So for this one, to do the small subdivision, at least from my point of view looking at it, I don't see how we can do that with the code that we have now.
Agreed.
And it'd be really interesting to see what the property description would be like, because right now property descriptions are two-dimensional, but if you're selling the first floor and you have the second floor, now do we have a three-dimensional property description?
And they are designed that way. Oh. They are, and I'm learning of this also. And so I've gone, and so they are, I've talked to business owners that have that. They are a first level and a second level owner.
But he's saying, we just don't think the subdivision fits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no way to cut it up.
Yeah, there's no boundary.
There's no boundary.
Correct.
To cut that
you can
up.
Go east and west and three times, but then what about this fourth one?
And I didn't want to do the subdivision
those.
Because where we own, you know, I have the upper level. If, you know, property A buys that, does he now own the upper level? You know, I didn't want to go through that subdivision thing. So I think condominium is clarifies that.
So if I understand correctly, like the next application that but you that's made what needs was to too late for this meeting is some suggestions to change the code.
Yeah, we have this. I thought I sent it off, but apparently I sent it to the wrong person.
Code just doesn't.
And again, I've never done this before, so
I don't know. I was going to ask
Eric.
Yeah. There's a break.
Eric?
No, I have it. It just didn't happen.
Have we ever had
at the deadline? But you submitted
in our code anywhere?
What?
We have not. It was taken out before the town.
I need to submit that to
when we first got the. Adopted the county.
Oh, we covered
so,
before
so
it came.
So what we should you need to consider upon their request.
You can do that as well.
Maybe it would be the catalyst
still.
To it. Is
yeah.
that we need to consider a zoning code, whether it's commercial or anywhere that, you know, we can put
right.
it on any parts of our plan.
Correct. To allow for condominium.
But create a condominium code, you know.
That's what I feel like we need.
If this,
I'm not saying it makes sense.
No, we don't.
I think that's what it'll take.
It makes sense because we want this to be clean
sure.
and to last for generations.
So I guess what I'm trying to do is help Nephi yeah.
on
in
step.
What to do for his next step. And it sounds to me, correct?
He's,
me
he's,
right. he's already done it.
He's already spoken
but we didn't
to a
get
lawyer.
It in time for this meeting.
Okay.
But he wants to do a subdivision.
So he wants us to change the code so that he can. Subdivide or
condominiumize his building.
And so
yeah.
where we're at is looking at the small subdivision thing here tonight, which at least for
I
me doesn't make sense.
It.
And that was the application that we received
yes. Yes.
in time
yeah.
for this meeting.
Understood.
So we're looking at that one, and then we will look at the code next time, and our job is to look at what's suggested, make any changes that we think are necessary, and then send a recommendation or to approve or not to approve to the council. But it's ultimately the council's decision whether the code gets changed or not.
And that would require public hearings and
all that.
Yes.
Jazz, all of that stuff.
Yes.
That's where, the
that's where time comes.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying if you're hoping this is going to happen
no.
quickly.
No, I understand that.
No,
no.
You've worked with us long enough to
yeah.
know that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
No, we know that. But we have
So you've already sent that information to us.
Yes, Kim, do you have
everything?
That's what you got after the first with some of
that
stuff? That
kind of a description of what looks like this.
Gee,
This is a description of what I was trying to.
Yes.
But I think that you have that.
So that'll be next month, okay.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that was.
No, that was fine. Do you want me to pass it down? You guys are welcome to look at that. This is what I have in mind.
Why don't you just send it to us?
Okay.
If you can send it.
I can. I just didn't want to confuse things because we already had an application.
She'll send it to us and then that'll give us time to.
And I do have that.
Analyze and study and plan and.
Yeah.
Then these lift and roll.
And then this, one other benefit this does for me also is because I have two more phases to do and they're smaller buildings. But right now, I'm on one tax base, or on one tax ID for the whole thing. So the bank is like, in order to do buildings B and C, we've already done A, in order to do building C, it would be so much more beneficial if you could break, you know.
Isolate.
Isolate them off. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So they're not, it's not just a big tied up with a mortgage and all that other stuff.
So that would be a small subdivision.
So, but it would still be under the condominiumizing, so.
The ground would stay the same.
The ground would not get split.
No, we're trying to keep the parcel all one ground.
It's all, well, okay, no, it's not because, well, each building, the parcel is the same, correct? But at the buildings, there would be individual units in the building.
Okay.
And again, I'm.
So you're not talking about dividing the ground, you're talking about.
Correct.
Making a condominium out of those buildings.
Of the buildings that already are approved. Of my concept, of my buildings that are already approved. Yeah, that way I could condominiumize each. Yeah, I'm just not, it's not breaking up the ground at all.
I think they need different meters. For each unit.
The good thing it does for you guys is it brings more businesses to town, more sales tax.
Tax base.
Right.
And I've set it up that way. I've run gas meters to each unit and I've run power meters to each unit. And so we're set up for that.
Yep.
And so, and I'm like, okay.
What about your sewer needs?
Yeah, the sewer is already.
That's why there's sewer now.
The sewer's all connected. You can't have eight. So the sewer eventually is all connected and that's, the sewer's actually finishing up. Now, with the storm, the last couple storms, we kind of postponed it.
Yeah, that's why we did.
But we're within a week-ish of finishing the sewer.
Cool.
And so I'm gonna have this, my main building that's going up by the first week of March, we're gonna have then plan on having my occupancy for just kind of a warm shell and then there'll be tenant improvements to do for each unit.
Nice.
So.
Lofty goal.
I know. Don't go at all.
So my suggestion would be to, I guess, table this subdivision request, have you come back next month to talk about the process.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted us to go ahead and take a vote on this tonight, we can do that.
It's really not a vote on, I don't.
I don't think you have all the information.
We probably don't.
Yeah, so if you can get all the information, that would be kind of.
Okay, so I think the best thing for us to do would be to continue.
That's fine.
For the next meeting, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Okay?
More meetings, love it.
But I do.
We believe in all meetings, we trust.
I do think that it was, I think that's a better option to go than a subdivision anyway.
I agree, yeah.
Amen.
But, you know, to Byron, you hear your point, have partners, I don't know, I'm from a big family and.
No.
A lot of people don't agree.
Well, but, I mean, if it's like, hey, I'm from a big family.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys would drop your jaws.
When we met with Nephi, that's, we talked about those options, forming an LLC.
Yes.
Bringing those partners in, they could do that. The town doesn't have any say in LLC. That's something that's outside. He can do that immediately. Could have been.
Correct. And you can form that and then.
And while I work on this, yes.
Yes.
But I think for the long run, I think this is a cleaner option.
1,000% cleaner.
Yeah.
We need higher density, have a proposal. More businesses, more sales.
Table it. Possibly.
Yeah.
Depends on the business.
We're ready.
Exactly.
I don't know. How about your business? You're not getting any sales tax out of my business.
I'll make a motion that we table the Trinell small subdivision application pursuant to them changing to a condominium type
what do you call that? Application or code?
Question, what do we need to do for that? Do we need to fill out a new application?
Talk Gary.
Sounds like you already put it in after the first.
No, this is a completely different application. What application you have in front of you is different.
So on the bottom where we put.
Penciling that.
That's why I'm suggesting we continue that until.
It says subdivide building space.
Next month.
Oh, okay.
So this is your application that we have in front of you tonight.
Right.
We don't have that.
So we'll redo that.
Yeah, we do.
I don't have that.
You don't have the application?
I couldn't find it. I've got all this building layout.
We don't have the application for March 1st?
Yes.
Well, I saw it online, I saw it somewhere.
Because right now, I don't, I've seen this application, but it's not complete.
Okay, and just one quick question on the fee, do we pay the fee or?
I would hope not.
Because there's no fee under others.
Well, can we just clarify this application? The fee that we previously paid, can we clarify the application?
Well, you can apply any fee that's left over, but these fees have been used. Part of these fees have been used.
Oh, excuse me.
With our meeting with Adura.
Okay.
So some of these fees have been used.
You guys charge me money?
I don't, but somebody does.
I just wanted to understand before you close it, like what is table?
Means that we're not going to take any action until.
We get the application.
We still need to apply an application.
Yeah, so that's what we need.
Yeah, not table, right, continue, yeah.
And that way, you can withdraw that application or change it or do what you want and then.
Yeah, I had no idea what. I didn't really have a category, so I'm sure what.
The best thing you can do is not go through me, is to go through Amelia at Adura. She will guide you through that, and I think that's where the disconnect is you keep sending things to me, and that's not what I do, aside from making copies and sending you things.
Amelia has a process to keep track of.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So is that the $500?
Okay. Can you restate your motion, or do you have?
I would make a motion that we continue the Trunell small subdivision application until our next meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
And a third.
Kip, baby.
I think you beat me.
Wild, give it to Kip. Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Fanger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Dave, motion carries.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Thank you. I'll have her call you on those graves.
You could go to my house tonight and walk around the backyard, and they're sitting right there in front of my greenhouse. There's a whole bunch of big, long sticks, pick them up and.
I'm tired, I'm going to go home.
That's the bottom.
Well, maybe, how far away is your house?
Well, we'll get.
She's going, buddy.
South.
You're not going.
She challenged your mind.
I know. Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're on to item number six, which is business licenses. So we have two new ones.
Yeah, where's?
Do we have a representative of them here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Kimbo Roofing.
You're roofing and you're the dumpster?
Is this the?
Kimball's the dumpster. Iron Horse's equipment rental.
Equipment rental. Kimball's the dumpsters.
To hell.
It's just a commercial code, you all. Put the packet?
Of course. Thanks, Eric.
Bet.
Do we know where this, yeah, there's a Highway 40 address, right?
Right next to the place.
Yep.
I would invite Kimball up to discuss his application.
So, yeah, what would you like to, what are you doing?
I
I think they're two separate items under.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm just here for A1 roofing and Kimball roofing.
Okay.
So we're over on 3400 and Highway 40, Heber Valley Storage. And we've been there for 5 years, I think, Kimball roofing. So we have a renewal coming in on that license for 24. And at the same time, I have dumpsters that we use for roofing, or I'll rent, hopefully, or maybe. I own 5 of them. They're not big trucks loading on and scooping up. It's a trailer system.
The ones that are on 3000?
Huh?
I think you had one on 3000 South.
Correct. Yeah. This is, it's basically, it looks like that. It's just hooking up to my truck.
It's just a dump trailer.
Twin axle, but then we release it and it rolls off. So it kind of has the hook, just like, you know, your big trucks.
Yeah.
But at the time I had the renewal and then I'm doing this, I'm trying to open a website for dumpsters to advertise. And Google wants to have proof to have your location in that. So I thought, well, if I get the license for the dumpster and then I can show that and the location and that, then I'd be fine. But I think I'm kind of double whammy in my thing here, trying to get a license for the dumpsters when it can just be ran out under the A1. Yeah.
Okay, I guess the question is where are the dumpsters stored?
So I have Deer Creek Storage. Mm-hmm. So I have an area there I can store. I only have 5. I may get more, but I'm not.
So basically, you're just renting them at this location. You're not storing them.
This is the storefront for it.
It's the storefront.
That's the storefront on 40. Correct. And then I store them over at Deer Creek, and then they'll just go off to a homeowner or construction site, and then we'll dump them. But I understand 233,000 is a bad road. You want to stay off that road, which is okay, because we can just go around to Airport Road and sling in our dumps when we dump them, because that's the only place we can dump them. We can't dump them over there.
The transfer station.
Right, they changed that to a couple of years ago. It's only across the highway from my Charleston place. But
yeah.
We're kind of in between, but that's no big deal. We can go right around. It's not a real big project or anything. It's more of a billboard than anything.
Sure.
I guess my feeling is if he's renting those, you know, as part of his roofing business, I don't know that that needs a separate license. And I don't know that we have any concerns if the dumpsters aren't stored there. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
If the dumpsters don't come on site, I think that's different.
Yeah.
I think what we have on this whole thing is that this business is licensed in another municipality. There's no tax base on any of these businesses we're talking about. It shows a Midway PO box. So you're building licenses.
So that's out of the Charles.
Well, we don't have mail delivery to our
shop. Charleston uses, don't they use their Midway?
I don't know. I just know that the state, well, we've got an expert here. He can tell you where the tax goes.
Well, it's still 84049. I mean, or 32. Both areas are the same zip code. So you still have the same tax bracket. No?
Well, Midway says
we'll get a 049. If it's not associated to our municipality, we won't get any tax off of anything. So
because of my mailing address?
Well, it's not.
It
gets more complicated than that.
That might be partly the town's problem.
Yeah.
But one advantage is the sales tax is lower in Daniel than it is in Heber. I don't know about Midway.
But it's lower.
But it's here, lower in Daniel.
It's got to be lower here than anywhere.
We have a little bit of an advantage there selling in Daniel. I don't know. Have we ever solved the sales tax issues, really?
Not since I talked.
Is it because that kind of service I have to charge sales tax?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because my roofing, I don't have to.
I know.
They're buying and we pay when we buy it.
Correct.
So we don't have a sales tax number, but my dealer, I have cars that I sell.
Really nice cars.
Then I had to get into the sales tax.
Correct.
Matter, we have a sales tax number.
So I don't know the answer on dumpster rental, if that's a taxable item in Utah or not.
Well, I used to do them 20 plus years ago, and I found my old contract, and it says plus sales tax.
Sure.
So I've got to call and check the state and see if I need to get a sales tax number for that.
Sure. And that's where I think for our sake, we would love, if that's the case, if the business is going to be registered as a business in Daniel, we would love to get that sales tax revenue.
Correct.
Because we're on the hook for you operating in our town and having your location and whatever, and so that's...
But see, I'm stuck to the P.O. box because I can't get mail out there.
Really?
At Daniel's. So I can't get the mail out there.
Well, I don't think that doesn't matter because when...
It's the point of sale.
Because when you have to file your sales tax returns, you can put the location of the sale as a Daniel location there for where you're doing that, so the mailing address shouldn't matter. That came up more as an Amazon issue at times, but it's different.
Yeah, and I think the town needs to do a little more research on exactly what's happening there, but you may get a phone call from us and say, please do this, you know, in the future.
Right.
He turned in two applications, so you need to...
Just void the one and stick with the roofing.
Well, that depends. I think we can probably do it under both. Under one application, unless you need a separate business identity or proof of business.
I think it can be under the one license, but add the dumpsters on that same license, and that just rolls with the flow for Google Maps or whatever.
Seems fine
to
me.
But then if I need to get sales tax, and then I just get a sales tax number and then apply it with the state.
If it's a separate business.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a different LLC or anything like that?
No.
It's going to be a different business,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Then, yeah, if it's the same business, two business licenses don't really make sense.
Right.
But if he's renting dumpsters as one business and he's fixing roofs as another business,
nope,
that's two different businesses, two different...
So you're using the dumpsters to take care of the roofing material?
Correct.
Okay.
90% of the time.
Okay, but the applications, please look at those, because
noted.
The application had one name, and then the other application had another name.
Correct.
The applicants were two.
I did that, but if I can combine that name to one, and then we deal with the sales tax from there out. We need to, because I think the state's going to require me to do sales tax. I just haven't looked into it at all.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will own a rental.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I just haven't ever looked at dumpster rental specifically.
Yeah, because it's not labor. You're doing a service. Just like a Diamond Rental or whoever, they're going to have to charge us.
Go do it.
So I'll have to get a number.
Wow.
Which I can. That's easy.
Yeah.
I'll let you know in 1 second.
So yeah, we got one application.
With Kimball, and then the other one's Richard Wayman.
And really, it's the same issue with the cars too. Licensed classic cars in the left town of Daniel. Same thing. It's all going Midway P.O. box.
Yeah, but again, like it. The P.O. box doesn't drive the sales tax.
Right, it's just what he writes down on the application.
It's, well, what drives the sales tax is when you file a sales tax return to report your sale.
At the location.
Where is the point of sale?
$3,400.
That's what should be driving.
Correct.
And so
that's where we pay our sales tax to, on $3,400.
We looked, and we didn't see any one time. Or at least we weren't. We tried to back into that one time to see, just because we're, as a town, trying to investigate, like, are we getting revenue? So it wasn't just you, but we were trying to, like, all right, here's our business areas, and trying to see, all right, what businesses are there, and are we getting revenue? And
Correct.
I mean, I'm not saying it was a fully exhaustive approach, but we didn't see it.
That state should be submitting that because it's at that location, point of sales.
Sure, yeah, and that's...
Because that's what they drive by is that point of sale.
Yep, exactly.
And then we do that sales contract from that location.
From that point of sale.
And then we pay that sales tax off every car.
Sure.
To the state.
But it appears that's going to someone else and we don't know where it's going yet.
Why?
We have to do some research.
Because we're not seeing the revenue come through.
We're not seeing any revenue. The only revenue we see is from Amazon.
So who pays your revenue?
Nobody.
We're just not getting that revenue.
You should.
It's going to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to the state and then the state allocates it out to the different locations and it's not making it to us.
How do I find it? How do we find that out?
What?
Because I can call the...
So my question would be is if you're saying that you're reporting it as a sale in Daniel, then we can have that discussion with you and then with our contact at the state as well and say, what's, the wire's getting crossed somewhere here, but...
Yes, we have to pay their...
Unless the point of sale is that Midway PO box.
And we file a report.
Ray Charleston, because his dealership's down in, well, I don't know that, but he keeps...
Well, Charleston, I have a license, but I do my sales out of 3,400.
Yeah, it should be based...
We need to check into that.
Category to that, and I can double check tomorrow.
Yeah.
Find that out. I can get a report probably from the DMV.
Yeah, the state could tell you where they're showing those sales at and where the tax is going.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's, I don't sell a lot of cars, but it all adds up.
Where coal is in her bucket.
Something that's better for them.
$1,000.
Yeah, that's why nobody's...
So my son-in-law out of Hannaford runs about 5 rural lots in probably about 100 dumpsters. But most of his work's out of Salt Lake and he says he does not pay sales tax.
Interesting.
But I'd have to talk to a CPA about it.
Might pay sales tax.
I also have a client that doesn't charge sales tax. I haven't investigated that for sure.
So like we do with roofing, when we buy our materials, we pay sales tax. And then maybe we pay at the landfill. I haven't went and dumped one yet.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway.
So I guess the main thing we need to figure out is if this is really, I mean, if this is really one business, it's the same people, same address, which it appears to be.
I think trash the dumpster one. And I didn't put a number in there, a license or anything, because I didn't go get anything like that.
Because it is this business, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And as long as the dumpsters aren't stored there, then I think that's fine.
Yep. Yeah, as long as it's just an office, because I just handed you the commercial code. Dumpsters aren't allowed in the commercial area.
Correct.
Yeah. So all we have to look at is the renewal.
Industrial.
Industrial.
Yeah. So right now we're looking at the renewal for Kimball Roofing. Yep.
Well, I need.
No, you can't.
I need at least something to happen with the
dumpsters.
Maybe just put out a new one. Consolidate these into one.
I don't think you need to.
Oh.
He doesn't need to.
Okay.
I think just the renewal is going to be enough.
We just do it.
We deny it. We recommend a denial on the first one and renew the second, and I think that gets you what you need and hopefully gets you what you need, right?
We'll check.
Yeah.
At least that would be my motion if we're combining those two together right now and we're not done yet, but.
And Kimball, are you requesting to retract the Kimball dumpster rental?
Yeah.
Okay.
We tabled it.
That's actually what I
heard. Just
you guys got enough work.
I don't think he needs it.
I would.
And it doesn't sound like he thinks he needs it.
Accept a motion, or why don't we go ahead and look at the other two and we can do a motion for all of them. So we have two more business licenses.
Well.
Okay. So the second one is Iron Horse Equipment.
Yep. My name's Alex Sargent. I'm here for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do I hang out?
Yeah. We'll get to you soon.
There we go. My turn, huh?
Yeah, hurry.
Yeah, I'll try to hurry, yeah. So anyway, Iron Horse Equipment Rentals. So I'll be pretty much, if you guys are familiar with how Malagrand Power, it's going to be heavy equipment and tools. I'm not, especially this year, definitely in the next year or two, not going to have anything larger than, it's like an 18,000 pound mini, either they just like an 85 size, so I'm going to have larger Tracos. I do call an excavation company, I have access to bigger stuff, and they'll stay on jobs and things like that, so where I'm located, at Nate's yard there at Long Peak. I'll be leasing, or I'm leasing about an acre on that right side. Essentially, that yard, you're not going to see a lot of traffic coming in, especially with my experience last year with the equipment, or the rental company that I started. About 95% of it is really just a holding yard because I'm doing all the deliveries and pickups myself or somebody else. So as far as people coming into the yard or customers, I dare say you're 5% or less. It's usually maybe a contractor that I'm familiar with. But as far as just customers daily, there won't be really other traffic besides myself. Now, any questions you guys have, I'd be more happy to answer.
Yeah, the issue I have is this is zoned residential. And so in a residential zone, this wouldn't be allowed.
Okay, sorry, I was under the impression with Nate that it was commercial.
No, Nate was allowed to run at his residential because it was an agricultural product. He was growing trees there.
Okay.
He did not have any sales there. And so, yeah, it would have to be rezoned before we could approve this one. In my opinion, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, obviously, I just wanted to be aware of the conversation with Nate, so I was just informed about commercial was all from him.
Did they apply for commercial at one point there?
Yes, they did, and then they withdrew.
Well, fairly recently, right, or no?
No, it's been
a while.
That was years ago. Yeah.
Before the other property went commercial over there.
Okay.
Nate put in, and then he withdrew that application.
So before WIT stuff all went through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's news to me. So that Nate was very clear. He's like, yeah, it's commercial. We're good. So I was like, okay.
Nate should have known.
That's my apologies. So.
So he's not selling any trees off that corner? He's just growing them?
And he wholesales. There's no retail sales on
that. That's why he's got the sign.
Yeah. And I tried to call him. He wouldn't. So.
He's hard to get all of them.
Well, he wouldn't sell them either. He said, oh, it's for my job.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's the thought on that one.
Okay. So yeah, I just talked to Nate. So I guess if he decides he wanted to rezone, that'd be a discussion with him then, right?
Because you're just renting.
Yeah, I just ran. Essentially, that yard's a holding yard for me, essentially. So, yeah. Okay, sounds good. I will talk to Nate then. appreciate that.
There's a guy here earlier looking for partners.
I'd rather do it in Daniel and Evers.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got way too many papers here.
Yep, let's see.
And then, one more?
No, was the renewal.
Oh, no, because we had two for.
Yep, one was a renewal and one was a new.
So I'd accept a motion on business licenses.
You probably have to do them separate, Gary. Recommendation to council.
Well, can we make a recommendation to deny one and accept the other one in one motion?
Would you list them separate?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
If you're still allowed. I will make a recommendation that we deny the Kimball dumpster rental license, deny the Iron Horse equipment rental, and we recommend a renewal for the A1 roofing and siding application or business license.
I believe that.
I don't think we need to deny the Kimball dumpster because he retracted that application.
Withdrew
the application.
Okay. Assuming.
So the deny the Iron Horse one.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need that to ruin my credit.
We will make no comment on the Kimball dumpster rental application that doesn't exist anymore.
There you go.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, I'll call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Fingerton, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay. Whew. You guys just don't have anything better to do, do you?
I actually enjoy listening. It's nice to listen and not be rude.
Not be on the hot seat.
It's the most involved business licenses.
So what do we do, taxes then? Are we going to kind of call tomorrow and kind of just see what we, find out where it's going?
We would appreciate it if you could look into that and see where it's going, and if you can understand why it's not going there,
doing something wrong,
correct that.
Something different, okay?
Yeah, we would love that.
Yeah, if you could just let us know if it's going to that 3400.
Highway 40
address, then we can call the state and say, what's happening?
Do we have a CPA for
Yeah, because I have the state license at 40.
I don't remember.
Right.
from the showroom and that ourselves, and then
we do,
you know, so it's all recorded right there.
It just, it's all.
Sales tax.
Anyway, we appreciate that.
They're just making sure that we're in compliance.
Yeah.
Thanks.
More just a review of the books to make sure.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, next item, we have lost our co-chair.
Dang it.
Deserted us, the big jerk.
Amen.
No, he moved on. I don't know what's up, but he moved on.
He's moved.
Which, as we're talking here, we do have a vacant position on planning commission. For anyone interested. So, I would accept a nomination for a new vice chair.
I nominate Byron.
I nominate Bridger.
Okay, do we have a second for either one of them?
I will second Bridger.
Okay. Do we have a second for the other one?
No.
Okay, then I'll call for the vote.
Does he get to vote for himself or say nay?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Wild dome.
Horner, yes. Pegger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Bridger.
Good job.
I don't care.
I know that. Thanks.
Okay, Eric never had to run a meeting or do anything extra.
Yeah.
But I'm not making the same promise.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, planner report, Eric.
So that's in your packets. We did have a CO issued. We're excited for that, Reggie Kohler's.
Sweet.
Is that the one on 3,000? Oh, okay.
So cool. We did the last few remaining items and we issued the CO.
Yay.
We like that.
Those are good days.
Yeah, that's been a long process for him, so.
But it's a nice house.
It is, yeah, it is.
But it's super close to 3,000.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a real big lot.
His choice, I know, but having lived on a busy street before, it's kind of like, ugh.
We're going to mitigate some of that traffic someday.
So while you're looking over that,
I'll count on you to do that, Pam.
I'll give you a heads up regarding we have received a application for a zone change on the Kill property.
Where's the Kill property?
On
Little Sweet.
Daniel Road.
Christina Davis used to live.
Oh, where the...
That's the old brown house?
Yes, the Flower Time house.
Where the house...
No, it's not that one.
Yeah,
it is the Flower Time.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. Way back.
So we've received an application. It'll be on your agenda next month. So.
What do they change to what?
I want to change the entire parcel to industrial.
I don't think so.
But the back is already industrial.
Right. They want the front house part industrial.
Yep. Because they would like to develop the back, and they can't do that going through a residential zone. Our code says you can't access industrial through a residential zone.
So the only option they have is to try to change the
or
get access from somewhere else.
Change the zoning or change the code.
Or get access from somebody else.
Change the code.
Yeah.
Or keep it residential.
Well, yeah, their other option would be to change everything residential or keep it as it is.
Sure.
If it's on the industrial, then the house would go away.
But they
simply
go through and just left the residential.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and I think that leans to a bigger conversation that the Planning Commission has to have. That is our industrial area.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so is this something that you're looking at developing that industrial area?
Sure.
And so this is a way in there if it's part of a zone change.
True.
That if you want access down
but
to
the area that the zone can I request for is not in our industrial area or planned industrial area.
What's that?
Say that area, the front part of that is not in our planned industrial area.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's why we need to do zone change, if we choose.
Right. It's the long
range. It's a landlocked industrial area.
It is?
Well, almost.
Is there any access to it?
There is from the Heber City side, and then Coleman's have access that they got granted from the county that goes
before.
Into that. Yeah, before the town existed that they have access in.
So it's around on the Heber City side?
Come off of the airport.
Right. CMC comes in from Heber City.
Okay.
So that accesses that industrial area. Coleman Trucking has their garages back there.
Okay.
They're in industrial, so they've been allowed access down from the county before it was a town into that area.
I see.
That gets somebody into, that's where our water.
If they want to buy it.
Yeah.
Which property owner is it?
Coleman.
Coleman?
Scott Coleman. It might be in his mother-in-law's name still in the trust.
His mother's.
It's actually.
His mother, you're right. I'm sorry, his mother's.
Yeah.
Mary?
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
Well, it's
a Coleman Trust.
Coleman Trust and Corbett Gordon.
Cool.
But
this is Coleman's. I'm trying to understand which one we're talking about here.
The access check is through the Coleman's, potentially. But the property owner is Scott Keel.
That's what it is.
But we can discuss this next time.
Right, I just want that on here.
Just throwing out some, just start thinking about it.
Work for the zone change code, because that's something that'll be coming up.
And he has submitted an application. It just didn't make it.
There you go.
So Coleman.
Exactly.
Comes here.
Yep.
Is there any other questions on the?
What, whose is this home here?
I don't know who it is, but it's just a.
Okay, there's no other questions?
Hang on, we might, just a minute.
What's the status on that batch plant with, I know they're operating, they're waiting on lighting or something, but.
CMC?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're up and operating. They're selling cement. The only thing they haven't done is done, of course you can do lighting up to 20 feet, but that's a conditional use above 20 foot. And so they still don't have a lighting plan for anything above 20 foot, and there's no lights above 20 foot. So I know we've had complaints, people saying, look at the lights over there. That's actually.
Lower than our 20 foot right now.
Actually, the cement plant that's in Heber City is what they're saying.
Okay.
And they have the shields on currently, right?
Yeah, what?
The shields?
Yeah, they're all within compliance.
So maybe they've got OSHA issues for not having their lighting where they need it, but that's not our issue.
Right.
Right.
Fair enough.
In fact, right now it's the best of all worlds because we don't have any lighting above 20 feet.
Yeah, eventually they'll probably want to change that, so they're in compliance.
Yeah, because when they go into their control towers up at the top.
It's way at the top there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question on the access to this industrial. Is it feasible for them to contact, because the next parcel going south, I don't know whose that is.
Marsh Birch.
Yeah, that is not industrial. There's not a division of that property. So is it feasible for them to purchase an easement from Coleman to enter the back part of that property without us changing the residential frontage?
I don't know, but that's a discussion for next time.
So the only issue I see with that, Byron, is that our code does not allow access through residential to get into the industrial. Coleman has access to his.
Grandfather.
He doesn't have access to the town. He's in the county.
Yeah. Coleman Farms, the back of his.
Right. And that is half in the town, half in the county.
Yep.
The county drew that line down through there, and that's just where we're at. It divided those properties.
Unfortunately.
I know. Okay.
And they said, you guys can find it out later. We'll find out when that later is. So I'm hearing some rumblings that that may be coming to a head faster than we think. Heber City's looking at expanding their industrial area.
Can they annex a half a parcel?
They can, because the county gave them those separate numbers when they divided. The Erickson piece, the back piece of it, had a separate parcel and it has been sold. The Erickson
sounds
parcel,
like the county did an illegal subdivision.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, we have to follow outlines. They did not, so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Kind of opened up a pool of worms there because all those properties along there, then they'd all come out to 3,000 South. You have all this industrial on 3,000 South.
Yeah. So be thinking about it, but we'll talk about it next time.
Yes, that's just something for you to.
Something to look forward to.
That's right. Those nights you can't sleep, that's a great
just
subject.
Then I'll be asleep in a minute.
Okay. I'm assuming we have nothing for the engineering report. So
since they are not here.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to the minutes. Item 10.
There is a change that I need to do. Gotta find it though.
There it is.
It's in there, I saw it.
Yeah.
Not being here.
That was last time.
That was last time, got it. That's the minute. Hello, Jim. Thank you.
Kim, when will that notice go in for the vacant?
It was in today.
It's in today?
Actually, it was supposed to be in last week, but it's in today. It's in next week. It's been posted since the day after Eric resigned on our website, as well as the Utah notice one.
Okay.
So.
Yep, if you folks know somebody, a little fraud never hurt.
For what's that? To fill this vacancy?
Yeah.
I've asked a few people to.
Good.
I haven't received a single application.
Yet.
No. Heber Taylor said that he was interested, but I haven't received anything from him yet. But in the notice, when you guys read your Wasatch Wave later, it goes until the 29th. Because we would like to do that on March 4th during the council meeting, the appointment, if we can.
Gotcha. Desiree Lee, Kirk Lee's wife, asked me about it.
All they have to do is email me.
Put me on the list.
Trevor Ellis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is somebody.
It would be nice to have a few people to.
To choose from.
Choose from. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard someone had a change for the minutes.
There's a typo in here.
Okay.
It's not.
What page?
It's not really.
That's okay. Let's change it.
Changing of any of.
Let's just change it. What page?
I can't find it.
It's so big that I can't.
Okay,
I found it at one point.
So run for typos again. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, accept the motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of January 17th, wasn't it? Yep, that's today. January 17th.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Skinner, yes.
You're invited.
Motion carries.
Motion to adjourn.
You jumped the gun there.
He's got a few things to talk about. No.
Call for a motion to adjourn.
Now.
So made.
Second.
Is there a second?
Yes. Me. I second.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Freebie,
yes. Wild, yes.
Good crap.
Horner, yes.
Thank you.
Shaky.
Yeah, yes.
Meeting's never enough.